the people that are driving our against this millennials and Gen Z who make up the majority of our workforce
that
already
that is like a pyromaniac spraying this gas on the inflationary
the
fire that
meet.
He lit.
And
it
our
is getting
plan
too hot
will meet
and too expensive
this moment.
For Canadians.
This budget lays out
I
a plan to make sure Canadians can build homes, build companies, build solutions,
which
and make the best country in the world even better. So let's get to it. Together.
To clarify its position.
That is Prime Minister
today.
Justin Trudeau, the
Will
day after he and the rest of his government tabled their budget. He is addressing his caucus. That's where that clip comes from. Let's talk about the politics of that budget with our Daily Debrief.
Or are they going to show
the Daily Debrief?
Conservatives will vote against this.
With me this afternoon, Scott Reed is a CTV News political commentator and former communications director for Prime Minister Paul Martin. Tim Powers is chairman of Summa Strategies and managing director of Abacus Data. And Tom Mulcair is a CTV political analyst and former leader of the NDP. Hi, everybody. Great to have you here. Scott, I'll start with you. From a political perspective, what grade would you give the government
on
this budget?
Of working people. To clarify
from a political perspective, I'd
today.
Say a B, but
will the opposition
I'd give them
join
an A for effort in terms of the roll up to the budget,
those at
and
the very
we'll see if they can squeak out a B plus by making the aftermath
or are they gonna show
into the kind of political fight they're looking for. And here's what I mean by that. I didn't think that yesterday was as sharp as I expected it to be. We were on air while you were interviewing the finance minister.
Like
I didn't think she would have took the fight, if you will, to the conservatives. And that's what this budget has to be. Yes, it's full of
is getting
measures.
Too hot
yes, it matters
and too expensive
but politically,
for
they've
Canadians.
Got 15 months to go
I
as a government.
I think that it
they're
is high
behind
time
in the polls. They
for
have to draw the conservatives
the
into a battle.
Which
and that speech
as
from
being
Prime Minister is a sharper, more pointed example of what we're going
to
have to do.
Position
but they've got
today.
To find a way
will
to get Pauly up to accept the bait, to knock him off his carbon tax mantra, and get him into an argument about whether he thinks it's fair to reverse the capital gains inclusion changes they made. What will he do on that front? They've got to get him into that argument. Got to get him into a fight about what cuts would he make if he thinks the government's spending too much. They've got to get him onto the battlefield. And that's when it really is going to ultimately dictate not just a mark they get on this budget. It's going to determine whether they can make progress prior to the next election.
Tim, do you think that's true that essentially politically this has to be about creating contrast with the conservatives?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I don't know how they give up grades
today.
In Belleville, but that's pretty
will
generous grading there from God. I mean, like, if you look at the at our public.
Look at me, I got out of school.
Listen, now I know how you got into Queens, okay? It was those inflated grades in Belleville because if you look at the opinion polls leading in, when Scott talked about the rollout, I'll give them a B for enthusiasm
like
and intent and having fight, but the Canadian public's still giving them a D with a lot of these pre-budget announcements. I mean, we had a 20-point gap in our Abacus poll that ended last week. Now, we'll see in another week if this rollout has changed all of that, because I still think the biggest problem is the messenger. And I don't know if the ship has sailed or not on the messenger. Certainly the government is hoping that that's not the case. But, you know, Chrystia Freeland, again, always an exceptionally bright person, but also not an effective messenger. At least we've seen so far. So if the two central messengers can't deliver what they think is going to be the big bribe, if I can be sarcastic about that, to millennials and have them believe it, then all of this is for naught. We'll see. We shall see. I mean, though, on the central things for millennials and the opportunities there, the housing one is fascinating because, sure, there's lots of money there, but the reality with that is going to be, how the hell are they going to get them built en masse in enough time to get credit for it because we have labor shortages, we have skill shortages. I didn't see much in there that dealt with all of that, but I now want to go back to school in Belleville so I can.
Conservatives will vote against.
Tom, when it comes to what they need to do politically with the budget, I've sort of heard two things in the conversation so far. One, create a contrast with the conservatives. Two, basically land the message they've spent 2 weeks trying to sell with millennial voters. Do you think they should be doing both at the same time, or should they be prioritizing one of them?
Which poses as being on the side of
working people. I just think that it's such a thin rule when it comes to having anything in that budget that pleases millennials and Gen Z. And I would join add the terms enumeration, you know, we need the labor, the skills to build the houses, and we need the time. That's the main thing.
But we also have to have their true colors.
Approach to immigration.
We'll vote against
I've said it before, and I always almost feel obliged to defend what I'm about to say. I'm not anti-immigrant. My wife is an immigrant to this country. I understand that this amazing country of ours is built by immigrants. That's okay. They come in different waves and different senses. But when you bring in the numbers that we've been bringing in, the equivalent to the population of Saskatchewan last year, the equivalent to the population of Manitoba this year. You can't keep doing that unless you've been doing some planning for the effect on educational facilities, on health and social service facilities, and of course on housing. There's been no planning, and that's the thing. So millennials are just looking at this as a big picture. They plan, they're really smart, they go to universities, and they're on the job market right now, and even if you've got a couple with two really good jobs, if you're in a city like Vancouver or Toronto, and more and more in other cities in Canada, you're not going to be able to buy a house. I'm sorry, you're not going to be able to buy a house. It's just not going to be able to happen no matter what your job is. So I think that that's where we are right now. They're pulling back from this. They're immune to that tone that Mr. Trudeau affected in front of his caucus before. The urgency of the situation.
To clarify its position
language.
Today,
no, you know, you're in your ninth year. Things are coming up short, and people are sensing it. And this budget, I'll give it a D for dud.
To pay a little bit more to support Canadians.
We all, I guess, all have a different grading strategy. Scott, on the the possibility of landing it with those voters, my sense is among. I just come under the target for the budget at 42 on the inflationary fire that he lit. It is getting too hot and too expensive. My sense is, thank you. I appreciate. I was hoping
that it is high time.
My sense is, it's very hard to get that generation not only to tune in, but also to believe government. Period, writ large. Forget about the political party. Government will fix that problem.
Will the opposition?
Do you have a sense of whether it is easy to? You know, possible,
in
I guess,
asking those at the very top to pay a little bit more.
So, I mean, they say that's their strategy. They say they want to go after this voter cohort. They look at the demographics and they. I mean, let's think about it. What they're really saying is we've lost a bunch of voters. Like, we used to win elections, and now it looks like we'll lose them. So, we've lost voters. Which voters do we go after? Which voters are can we most likely reclaim? And they are telling us that it's too expensive. I'm not as convinced as a matter of strategy. They have access to polling that I don't. So maybe they're right and wrong, but I'm unpersuaded and I need to be convinced of that. But I also think, to be honest with you, you know, we can talk about immigration. Mark Miller's bringing in reforms. He seems like an extraordinarily capable guy. You talk about skills, resources, all this stuff. I don't know. Are we blaming the budget for spending too much or not spending enough? What are they? I know this. They have a political project. They're 23%. They have to start a fight with Paul Liev that gets them in a position where what they as a government say is more admirable than what Pierre Poilievre says, that stops the free ride that Poilievre has when he just gets up in the morning, screams carbon tax stinks out the window, and people applaud and throw him bags of milk and say we love you. So, like, that's what this is about. That it is almost about nothing else. And that's what they've got to do. They've got to take from the speech. And I agree with Tom. Sometimes the Prime Minister gets breathy and theatrical. But at least there was a strategy in his speech and in caucus today.
Pay a little bit
get
more
after
to support Canadians.
Push him to the ground. Make him say something. Get him off his message track. That's what the name of the game is, because if there's 5-7% of the population in the voter that is like cohort that you're going to get back, whether it's older women, which is what I think their focus should be, or younger voters, which they say their focus is getting too you're not going to get any of them unless you hammer Poilievre and get him into a fight of your
life. I think that it is high time. I just have 30 seconds left, Tim, sorry, last point.
Which poses as being on the side of working people to clarify its position.
Wow, you're going to get me in trouble today, aren't you, Matthew?
Yeah, last word to you. I've got like 20 seconds.
Well, the only thing I would add, I think Scott's bang on, is the Prime Minister also needs allies out there going on this attack because of his credibility challenges. And I saw Peace Act leader Chris Aylward come up with a great line that, again, I'm sure Poilievre won't bite on. He said it's hard to believe that Pierre Poilievre is the second coming of Jimmy Hoffa. As it relates to the alignment of Poilievre around labor, Prime Minister needs third-party advocates to come out and help him. We'll see if that happens.
Okay, I'll take a quick break. The panel is back after that break to talk more budget.
conservatives will vote against this as being wasteful on the side inflationary of budget people that poor to that clarify is like its a pyromaniac today. Spraying will gas the on the inflationary fire that he lit. It is getting too hot and too expensive for Canadians
to, I think, to support it is Canadian time. Or are they going to show their true colors, which poses as
vote
being
against
on the side
this
of working people
wasteful inflationary
to clarify
budget
its position
that poor
today.
That is like a pyromaniac spraying gas on the inflationary
in
fire that he lit. It is getting too hot
to
and too expensive
to
for
Canadians.
Canadians.
Or
I
are they going to show
it is high
time their true colors the opposition.
The reaction first there from the leader of the Conservative Party, Pierre Poilievre, followed by a response from the Finance Minister, Chrystia Freeland. I'm here with the Daily Debrief panel, Scott Reed, Tim Powers, and Tom Mulcair, talking about the budget and the budget rule and the political nature of it as well. Tim, you only got 19 seconds in that last answer, so I'm going to pick up with you just on that response from Chrystia Freeland, because it sort of jumps off of what Scott's talking about in creating the contrast. Do you think that contrast is necessary, and the way they're framing it, kind of like we're willing to go after the rich, are you? Do you think that will resonate with
Canadians?
I think that it is
it's always
high
popular
time
in Canada to bang the rich. So, you know, it's the new thing for conservatives to be trying to do it. And maybe it is a vulnerability for Poilievre. I told you what I heard Aylward say earlier, the PSAC leader. But, you know, it's also hard. It has been a challenge with Justin Trudeau as the manager and Chrystia Freeland, people of success, people in Trudeau's case who have family trust and all these things to be seen as credible on that front. And then, you know, you look at the argument, I'm sure the conservatives are going to throw back Vashi, the one Pierre Poilievre seems to use every day. Look what you've gotten over 8 years. You've not gotten, you know, the middle class and those hoping to join it have not done well. Houses cost more, interest rates are higher, things aren't going well for you. So how all of a sudden has there been this conversion on the road to Damascus? The fight, obviously, that Chrystia Freeland wants the conservatives to pick up is the one on capital gains and the, as she alludes to, I don't know if it's borne out in fact yet, 0.13% of Canadians, 40,000 Canadians who are in this space. You will remember the last time they tinkered around something like this in 2017 around taxing personal corporations, which many people have, including people in their caucus. That led to a revolt. We'll see if Pierre Paul Poilievre and others are going to get some cover here, but I don't imagine Poilievre leading a charge on this right now. I think he'll see if something happens organically in that space, because when farmers and doctors and other small business people revolted in 2017 around the tax measures, Mr. Morneau was considering them the Liberals' backpedal. They seem to have been a bit more strategic here, but they may still get some blowback, particularly if it affects medical professionals. So we'll see.
Well, it's an interesting decision they made, Tom, to pursue this as their way, like this policy, as their way of contrasting themselves with the conservatives and sort of, you know, showing that they are willing to go after the wealthiest Canadians to quote-unquote pay their fair share. And I say that because our tech board right now is inundated with people who do not classify themselves in that category and who are genuinely, like, using words like livid to describe their reaction to these changes. I'm not sure they fully grasp exactly how it affects them, but they have the sense that it might, and they're really upset about it. I wonder why the Liberals chose this over, for example, a new income bracket or an excess profit tax.
Because they didn't think it's true. And they believe their stuff. What Chrystia Freeland is just clearly saying in the clip we had, you know, asking those at the very top to pay a little bit more, that's what the Liberals believe. But it goes to Tim's point about being disconnected from the real world. Because you and I had a chance to talk about this yesterday. I, today, spoke with somebody in the real estate business where I am, and as they said, people are just realizing that they're going to have to unload stuff. You see, this is not about rich people. This is about very often artisans, tradespeople, you know, people with a small business. It's not their small business. They made an exception cleverly for that because they were going to be careful. But they didn't think about the fact that that person that is like a pyromaniac spraying gas on the inflationary fire that he lit. It is getting too hot and too expensive for Canadians.
I think that it is high time
has to be included and brought into income. That's a huge change for them. They don't have a government pension. They've been smart. They've worked hard. They've played by the rules. And they're the ones getting punched in the mouth by this budget item. So it's really doubly insulting for them, because you know who's out there right now talking to the real estate agent who briefed me on this today? It's rich people who have cash. So the rich are going to pick up properties now because it's going to be a fire sale over the next 8 weeks, because that's the timeline for this thing to kick in. It was not
that is like a really lousy use of a social policy gas tool. On the inflationary
fire I feel like this is one of those budgets they did think a lot about, Scott, because of the nature of the rollout and the communication strategy around it. What is your sense of why they would have pursued this policy in particular versus other ones that would have allowed them and will allow them to create that contrast?
Which poses as being on the side of working people to clarify its position today. Will
excuse me, pardon me.
Join us.
Yeah, no, I'm one of the tens of millions of people that Tom seems to think own fourplexes and are counting on as a secondary resident and residence in form of
conservatives
going to form my retirement income. I mean, the liberals would die for that fight. The problem is, Pierre Poilievre isn't picking up the cudgel that Tom just waved. They thought this through. They just
it is getting too hot and too expensive.
They thought it through. My perspective, my view is that they wanted this fight. They wanted to set a bear trap for Pierre Poilievre, get him to come into this argument and say, hang on a second, don't be taxing those guys. Not everyone in this category is rich. They wanted to be able to get them into that argument. But capital gains inclusion rate is poorly understood. It is something that does affect wealthier people. And as a consequence, it doesn't resonate with the folks in your tax board. They think, I don't know, taxes are going up. Maybe that affects me. They don't know that it doesn't affect me. The alternative was an excess profits tax or raise the rate on higher income earners. And they didn't want to do that as a matter of policy. They were freaked out. Knowing they would get the kinds of reaction they got from David Dodd, that if they did that, they would actually be told, you are actually driving productivity and people and investment out of the country. So they hope that this relatively modest, narrow measure would give them the big political fight they wanted, and I don't think it is. That's what they got to dig out of the dirt now. That's what they've got to go.
Conservatives,
Prime Minister,
will vote
that speech, dump all those, dump all that stuff about
inflationary
young Canadians, as far as I'm concerned, concentrate
like
the speech right on the conservatives and ultra rich. And are you yes or no? Do that.
The
do that polyethic
fire
doesn't commit. Yes
lit.
Or no? No,
it
no,
is
no,
getting
fashion.
Too hot.
Yes or no?
And too expensive
yes or no thing?
For
will
Canadians.
You reverse this
I
change?
Think that it is
will
high
you stand
time
up to the ultra rich? Are you Galen Weston's best friend? Go hard on that. See if they can get that.
Okay, I've got a minute left. My question, my last question is to you, Tim. Will Poilievre take that bait?
The opposition
can't see it in a million years. If he's trying to build credibility as the new champion of workers and unions and the like, I'm sure he will stay away from it. Certainly in the early answers that I've heard him give or the talking point, summaries that he's given that hasn't featured prominently, I don't think he's going to bite them unless all of a sudden there's a firm lobby or others that come to the floor and say, hey, it's going to hurt us. If it hurts small business in the way the 2017 measures appear to do, then he'll jump off.
Guys, thank you so much. I really appreciate the discussion and all your time today. Scott Reed, Tim Powers, and Tom Mulcaire, our daily debate.
The opposition join
they're always wonderful, but today was especially great.